prominence of the Easter candle during this whole season of Easter. It's such a beautiful time to have a confirmation as we spend these 50 days celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and preparing for the great feast of Pentecost, the feast of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles with the seven gifts of the Spirit, those same seven gifts that you young people are going to receive this evening. The Easter season is filled with absolutely beautiful scripture readings. They talk about the presence of Jesus in such beautiful ways as he prepares his apostles to leave them, to ascend back to heaven, and he gives them all kinds of advice and gives them all kinds of assurance that he will be with them always, even to the end of time. Well, let me share a story with you, if I might, that I think might help in terms of understanding what we do here tonight. About 45 years ago, when I was a new priest in my first parish, I had the responsibility of coordinating a program for adults called the RCIA. It was a program where we welcomed people into the church, people who had never been baptized, or people who belonged to another Christian religion and wanted to join the Catholic Church, and at that time also people who may have been baptized, but for one reason or another, never received the sacraments of Eucharist or penance or confirmation, never were involved in the life of the church, but at this particular point, they wanted to be involved in the life of the church. And we had about 30 people this one year in preparation for these wonderful things to happen at the Easter Vigil. And being the director of their responsibility in getting prepared, I interviewed each and every one of them. Well, there was one young man that I interviewed while we were in this conversation. I asked him the question, why at this point in your life? He was 29 years old at that point. I said, why now? Why now do you want to be involved in the life of the church fully and completely? He had been baptized, but his family never involved themselves in church. He says, well, that's an easy question to answer. He says, I can answer that question with just one simple example. It was the Jesus nut. And I says, excuse me? He says, yes, the Jesus nut. Well, the first thing that went through my mind, I said, was this some kind of a person who maybe was nutty, or something was wrong with the person, or maybe they were just overzealous and all they did was talk about Jesus? And I asked him, I says, are you talking about somebody whose mind wasn't really all together? He says, oh, no, it's nothing like that. You see, I just got out of the Navy, and I was a helicopter pilot. And you know what a helicopter is. It's one of these flying machines. And it's a machine with a rotor on top. And that rotor is what lifts the machine and brings it into the air and keeps it in the air. He says, and do you know that that rotor was held in place by a single hexagonal nut, a bolt? I says, well, no, I really didn't know that. He says, and you know what they call it? I says, what do you mean, who calls it? He says, the guys in the Navy. I says, what do they call it? He says, they call it the Jesus nut. This bolt that holds the rotor in place. And I said, why would they call it the Jesus nut? He says, because if it comes off, all you can do is pray, because there's nothing to hold that machine in the air. And I remember that interview with him very carefully, and I remember him saying to me, when he came to understand how important it was for that single one bolt to hold this whole thing together, he said it reminded him, and the name that the the other Navy guys had given it, the Jesus nut, reminded him how important Jesus was in his own life to hold everything together. Well, in preparing for confirmations during this Easter season, I remembered that story and I said, my goodness, this was 45 years ago that I had this interview with this man. And I wondered, is that still true? 45 years have passed since we had that conversation. There must have been some advancements. Well, I'm no helicopter mechanic, but my grandnephew is a U.S. Marine, and he's stationed in Japan right now. And guess what his job is? He's head of a crew that maintains helicopters. So I immediately emailed him, and I asked him that question. Is this true that a single bolt holds this rotor in place? Still today, I heard this story 45 years ago. He says, it's still true. He says, and do you know what they call it? I says, I think I know, but you tell me. He says, they call it the Jesus nut. I was amazed. He says, although, he says, they named it that because if it comes off, all you can do is pray. He says, but some folks say that it's there because it holds everything together, just like Jesus holds everything together in life. I said, wow, that's interesting. Well, I gave this homily for the first time a few weeks ago when I offered a confirmation in the cathedral in Charleston. And after the mass, a gentleman came up to me. He says, that's a great story about the helicopter. He says, well, I'm a maintenance director for Blackhawks. He says, and we've made a couple of improvements. He says, there is now a possibility of 12 additional bolts that hold this nut in place. He says, and it's just a way to strengthen the nut, the bolt. I says, is there a name for these 12 bolts? He says, yes, they call them the 12 apostles. Well, in the military, I can understand why there is such a focus on religious connections. Let's face it, if your life involves doing things that could end your life in a split second, if you're in the military, or maybe if you are a first responder, a policeman, or a fire person, it is quite possible that every time you get a call to do something, your life is in danger. And I can understand perhaps there's a level of faith there that might not exist in terms of some other folks in other professions. But in talking with my grandnephew, I says, what happens if this bolt is loose? If it doesn't come off, but it's loose? He says, it'd be very difficult, he says, to handle and to make sure that this machine will keep flying properly. He says, and then of course, if it comes off, the rotor comes off and the helicopter will crash. I use this story to help make some connections between the Jesus nut on a helicopter and the need for Jesus as the one who holds things together in our lives. When that connection with Jesus gets loose, life can be kind of flaky. Life can be kind of mixed up. Life can seem like there are not too many answers. And if we don't do anything to tighten that relationship, as a helicopter mechanic might not do anything to tighten the bolts, eventually, life could crash. Life could crash. It is Jesus who holds it all together. But just as that nut holds the rotor on a helicopter, it only stays there if we make sure that connection is strong and powerful. And sometimes you need tools to tighten the bolts. The helicopter mechanic can't do it by himself. He needs wrenches and all kinds of other tools to make sure it's good and strong. Well, so too do we need tools to keep our relationship with God strong. And tonight, you are receiving 7 of those tools. 7 gifts of the Spirit that if you use them, you can strengthen the relationship that you have with God, and that is what helps keep somewhat of a sense of togetherness in our relationship with God, gives us a sense of peace and harmony within ourselves. And Lord knows, the world in which we live today is certainly a place where we need peace and harmony and a sense of fulfillment and a sense that there's some meaning to all of this chaos that exists throughout our world. Every day, when I get up after I pray for a little bit, I go to my computer to check the news. And I must say that almost every single day, the news is negative. Almost every single day, the wars in Ukraine and in Israel get worse. Every single day, we see another mass shooting someplace in our own country. Every single day, we see all kinds of horrible things happening. And we want to fix it. We want life to be better. And there's an answer to that. Jesus gives us the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in reality, folks, there is no other way to find peace, harmony, and meaning in life. If we keep pushing God out of the picture, it's like loosening the bolt of the relationship between ourselves and God, and things will not get better, they will get worse. And some folks say, oh, I wish and pray that the leaders of our nation, the leaders of our world, the leaders in every aspect of life will pull this together. Forget it, folks. Our leaders have been trying this for years, and there doesn't seem to be any decent result. It's not going to happen until it starts right here. Until it starts in each one of us. Until we are able to see that inviting God into our life and living in a way that God has an important priority in our life, and that he gives us the grace, the tools, the assistance to make things good, will we see any change? In fact, if that relationship, like that bolt on the helicopter, keeps getting loose, it just gets worse. So my prayer for you, my dear young people, is use the gifts that God will give to you this night. Use the gifts he's already given to you, the gifts of your parents and those people who love you, those people whom you love. Use the gifts God has given to you to make this world a more reasonable place, but it can't happen outside of yourself. It has to start with you. The relationship that we have with God has to be individual for all of us. And until that happens, we're going to be flying in a wobbly situation of life. God first gave you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not the 7 gifts you'll receive tonight, but the gift of his presence when you were baptized. You remember that day, don't you? You do? Wow, he's kind of unusual. How old were you when you were baptized?
13.
Okay, he was baptized 13. Okay, you can remember that. If you didn't at 13, you'd have a problem. How old were you?
A few months old.
I would tend to think you don't remember any of it. On that day, there were promises made. Obviously, you don't remember making them, do you? No, and you didn't. Your parents and godparents made those promises. They promised that they would renounce evil. They promised that they would that strengthened their belief in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They promised that they would work through the church to help make this world more and more a reflection of the kingdom of God. And they made those promises hoping that one day all of you would make those promises yourself. Well, tonight has come a time when I'm going to ask you to make those promises. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, the same questions that were asked when you were baptized, asked of your parents and godparents. And I'm going to ask you to respond with two words, I do, but you've heard the expression, talk is cheap. If those words don't come from your heart, if those words are simply words you parrot with your lips and they have no meaning, they truly have no meaning. So respond with the intention of saying, I'm going to do my best to live these promises so that I can contribute to making this world a better place, of tightening that bolt of relationship with God so that life can be filled with beauty, harmony, and a sense of inner peace. Someone would bring me my ritual. I will ask you now to make those promises. Those who ought to be confirmed, if you would, please stand.